was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes-Jones. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Fine, Lori. Thank you very much.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. I have some interesting information before we get to covering tonight. Of course, we're going to be covering the situations that are going on in Oregon as well as in Nevada over the Bundy issues from 2014 and 2016. However, I wanted to cover a bit of interesting information I'm not sure if you were aware of, Eric, and I thought it was really nice, and I think this needs to get out there. Most of the, as you know, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl on Sundays, and the nation, it is reported in Breitbart that the nation geared up to watch the New England Patriots, amazing come-from-behind Super Bowl win, and Vice President Mike Pence used his position to celebrate our veterans by hosting two wounded warriors at the Super Bowl. The vice president and his wife invited Marine Sergeant Staff Sergeant Anthony Menino Jr. and received when he received wounds in Iraq in 2008, and the Army Staff Sergeant Frederick Manning, who was wounded in Afghanistan just last year. They've got information about that on Breitbart.com, and I just wanted to say, you know, that Vice President Mike Pence. Was quoted as saying it was a small token of gratitude of the people to the people of the country, as what Pence said. And I just want to say that's pretty nice. I like that. You know, it's nice to know that once they're in office, they're not forgetting the wounded warriors and our veterans and the ones who have been maimed and harmed in these unlawful wars. So I think that's a pretty nice thing that he did. What do you think about that, Eric?
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's really, in my opinion, it's very nice to see that they're not forgetting, you know, they're not forgetting, and that's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the United States of America right now, but as you know, that when there's good, we need to report the good as well as the bad. We don't need to just be overwhelmed with the bad. We need to stay focused. And I have a surprise for our listeners, as well as myself and you, Eric. We actually have gotten the recording. Tom has sent us a message, and we are going to be able to hear from Tom tonight, which is a wonderful thing. Because obviously he is a political prisoner who has been locked up since December the 6th of 2016. We miss him greatly, and so I wanted to let him speak to us before we cover anything else. So we're going to hear some words from Tom right now. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play Tom's message.
I've always wanted to talk to you. It's a shame we got to talk from this location.
Well, you know, some people will do anything to get attention.
Yeah, well, I don't think an FBI raid on my place there was looking for.
Well, it just proves the point, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Listen, I'm recording this, so if you want to give a message to the people, feel free.
Oh, jeez. I wish I was more prepared to do so.
Well, next time you will be. So this is impromptu.
Okay, impromptu. Well, for the folks that are out there that I hope will listen to this on my show, and I hope, Arnie, of course, you're always welcome on the show, and so is Carl. Anytime, you guys are the life's blood of what I consider to be the Liberty Movement. Really, it shouldn't even be called a movement because our founding fathers, they laid us some pretty precious ground. Now, you and I both know that there was always scallywags among them. My favorite founding father, if I had to pick one, would probably be Patrick Henry. And he smelled a rat. Well, boy, was he ever right. So anyway, my spirits are good. I'm in 23-hour lockdown now, or 22-hour lockdown, whatever it is now. 2 hours out a day. And they let me go to the library twice a week to pick something. I could use support.
Well, you've got the support. I just am firing off a note to Mr. Trump and team. Americans, wise up. Trump is in charge because we the people said so. And I also have exposed the fact that this phony judge who has attempted to limit his order, executive order, is null and void. Everything is null and void since Lincoln, at least, and as you were just mentioning, possibly from the beginning. We may have never been anything more than a British colony.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that Trump, he's on to it. He had one of his folks read out the original 13th Amendment, which blew me away, Lori told me the other day. And we had given our research to him regarding the 14th Amendment about 3 weeks prior to him coming out during the campaign on anchor babies. And he said, and I quote, "We take it from a few of our lawyers and some pretty good researchers that anchor babies are not supported by the 14th Amendment." Well, for those of us on the inside that know, that are in the know, we know that he knows that the 14th Amendment was never ratified.
Right. And it's null and void, and I submitted that to my assemblyman, Travis Allen, in the 72nd District, and he had the audacity to write me a letter, which I consider he committed treason, told me to stay out of his office, which I had to laugh. It's the people's it's the people's office. Then he went on to incriminate himself by saying he checked with counsel in Sacramento. So there we have the connection with the bar having influence over Sacramento, which means all legislation in California has been null and void anyhow.
Yes.
So this guy just created so many criminal mistakes and errors that it's a wonder he is in office. In fact, I did take it a step further and filed a complaint with the treasurer or the controller of the state of California. Of course, we know it's a franchise. And it was ignored. But
of course,
it just proves the point. Jerry Brown is simply a franchise manager impersonating the governor.
Yes. Well, you know, the shame of it is that it's gone on now for so long, and I know that we're not the first of our kind. I read back into the congressional record like you have. I read that my senator from the state of New Jersey, in Northern State, went back to Trenton, and he stood on the House floor in Trenton and said that the integrity of the United States Senate has been molested. That was in 1868 regarding the 14th Amendment. I brought with me to Oregon, to the refuge, a copy of the 1868 House resolution rescinding the ratification by the state of Oregon of the 14th Amendment based upon usurpation and fraud. Now, these were not not all these people were pro-slavery people.
Yeah.
This wasn't that. The people have been so lied to and indoctrinated that the 14th Amendment and the Civil War was all about freeing the slaves. That was the subterfuge. It was the attempt to try and have a higher moral ground. And while the underlying wickedness of it, I think really the perpetual unquestionable debt in Section 4 and handing that over to the Federal Reserve in 1913 was another state of treason.
Well, limits
them.
Here's the bottom line. Nothing is legitimate. Everything is done in fraud. And if it's in fraud, fraud vitiates all. There is no legitimacy to anything we're confronted with today.
You know, the only legitimacy I find is in the Bible, sir.
Well, and there are those who see things differently, and they're entitled to that view as well.
Sure.
But the bottom line is, as sovereign Americans, it's up to us. We have no one's permission to seek. Even if we use the founding documents, we can abolish any time we choose any government that we create.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's over. As sovereign Americans, we are starting over. And I strongly suggest that we begin to arrest and prosecute the imposters. If they have no legitimate oath of office and no bond, then they must be an imposter. So
I agree with that. I agree with that. I went with Carl to his county.
Okay.
With the retired judge.
Yes.
Who had also come to these conclusions. We wanted to do that. We showed up to do that. But their standing army, and that is exactly what these interlocked police agencies from town to town have become, is a standing army, stood the distance and withheld us from doing our constitutionally obligated job. Now, the Declaration of Independence makes it pretty clear that when the government does these things, when they become tyrants or absolute despots, it's not just our obligation, it's our duty. It's not just, it's our duty to throw them off, not for just ourselves, but for our fellow man. This is what I find going into this situation here from Texas to Nevada, Oregon, Washington, states. I see these agencies of government
Let's correct that. They're not agencies of government. They're criminal impersonators. They're imposters. They're pretending to be agents and agencies of our legitimate government. We haven't got one.
Probably more accurate, yes. Yeah.
And
probably more accurate.
And when the people recognize that and can openly confront them and say, you're not our government because of the way you act, because our government would not act that way. So when you as an American or a state national approach any public servant or person who's supposed to be a public servant and you ask for their oath and bond, they are obligated to give that to you immediately. Now, if they don't, that's the first hint that they're an imposter.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm aware of that.
Well, that's how people test them or should test them. And if they give you some nonsense, they're imposters.
The problem now that we have here sitting in jail is that they have us essentially captives. They have our families suffering.
Yeah, they kidnapped you.
Yeah. And here's the situation I'm in right now. I'm facing, I could face the potentiality of 10 years. Now, I have a wife who's struggling because, you know, I was the breadwinner. So here I have a problem now. If they come at me and say, okay, well, we'll give you probation or a year or 2 years, or whatever it is, if you plead guilty, well, it's either that or I stand there on my ground and be found guilty, because I'm going to, if I stand my ground on these principles and I go up in front of one of these liberal judges, which to me is the equivalent of a satanic cult, I'm done for, you know, and there's a lot of folks that...
Well, we have Randy Due and we have Thomas Deegan. And they're all standing on their principles, and they're all being unlawfully held. They're all incarcerated by pirates. This is piracy, and piracy, on land piracy, carries the death penalty. So, you know, it's just like I mentioned to Mr. Trump yesterday. We sent another notice. It had to do with Colonel Lakin. To reestablish him. And I just suggested to Mr. Trump, these men have done nothing wrong. Immediately release them. There's no question here.
So, well, I look at my coming to Oregon. I didn't come right away. Ammon asked me to come. Specifically sent me a message and asked me to come and bring my research with me. I sat and prayed on it. I thought about it. I reviewed the Hammond's information. I reviewed even the federal judge said that he couldn't possibly sentence them to the mandatory minimum, because if he did, it would be a shock to the conscience. He then walked off the bench and retired. I listened to Greg Walden on the House floor talk about the crimes of the BLM, and I felt, as my neighbors, it was not just it was my duty to come.
Yes.
And I did. And I would do so again. I harmed no one. I hurt no one. In fact, I tried to come to a peaceful resolution, and that was met with lies and deception by the law enforcement community. That's one of the reasons I'm here. The other reason I'm here is because somebody informed upon me that was in the group that I suspected was a problem.
But you've never done anything criminal to begin with. None of you have.
Well, I didn't there 10 years ago. I did. I was suffering from a disease.
Wait a minute. That has nothing to do with this event.
Well, I understand that, but I committed property crimes, but I served my time. What I don't agree with, and what the Constitution doesn't agree with, is this business with a felon in possession of a firearm affecting interstate commerce. Well, for anybody that knows anything...
That's a man-made decision.
Clause,
that's nonsense.
Hold on. If anybody that knows anything about the Interstate Commerce Clause, it was created for one purpose, and that purpose was to prevent any two or more states from economically ganging up on another state.
Yeah, of course.
Federal government permission to prevent that from happening. It never, ever, ever, ever authorized them to attack individual citizens based upon that clause. They have misinterpreted by judicial activism, and on and on. I mean, you know,
the point is, stop it at the beginning. They had no lawful authority as the Congress at that time to even implement that.
That's true.
So it was null and void. Everybody keeps making this mistake of fighting them, even going in and battling them. They don't exist legitimately. Sure,
no,
they're there.
They have you in a cell. You have no choice but to battle with them.
But I understand. Their crime against you was piracy. You had done nothing to merit their incarcerating you or capturing you.
Especially since the last hearing I had, the judge said he refused to grant me bail. Now, we know the Constitution says no excessive bail should
right.
be made. I can't think of one more excessive than none. And he based that upon the fact that he said that I was a threat to society. And when I tried to speak, he closed me down. When I tried going pro se, he tried pushing it off. He pushed it off to the next day, wouldn't listen to me. But here's the thing. Never... Not only have I not harmed anybody in my life, as a fireman, I've saved several lives. I don't even know how many I was involved in helping. But after my troubles 10 years ago, I stopped one robbery, and I saved the life of someone else.
Okay, but these points are important, of course, for you to prove the kind of person you are, but they're moot. Because the guy that's making these decisions has no legitimacy in the first place.
Yeah. The only problem is that their decisions continue to hold me here.
Well, that may be until we stand up as the American people and recognize we've been having our chains jerked by people who don't represent us and who are no authority. They're nothing more than common criminals acting as criminals. And in your case, pirates, and they ought to hang by the neck if we get to a chance to prosecute them.
Well, I can't disagree with you there. I have people that I have grown up and loved that are part of this system, and they don't see the harm that they're doing to other people. I don't know how they can't see it.
It's money.
But yeah, I guess so. Money, status, career.
You know, they've been working on us for a long time. If you've had any type of higher education, it's my personal belief, based on a lot of observations, people who have been educated in the schools of higher education have a thought process that somehow excuses them from criminal behavior in their mind.
Well, I don't call it education, for one. I call it indoctrination. And there have been foundations that have spent billions of dollars in the planning, the execution, and the takeover of our entire education system, of the law schools. My brother I'll never forget this. Governor Florio was in office in New Jersey, and my mother and my stepfather, I was a young boy, we were all going to Trenton to protest his Firearms Act, his ban on certain assault weapons and this and that. And my mother had a stack of flyers she handed to my brother, who was in law school at Rutgers, Camden. And she said, "Can you hang these up at your law school?" His question to her was, "Would you like me to graduate?"
Well, he's being intimidated from speaking his piece.
Of course.
Well, I happen to be from Atlantic City, so I'm very familiar with the area you're speaking of.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Williamstown originally, halfway between Atlantic City and Philadelphia.
Yeah. Been there. The nice restaurant, Williams Diner.
Yeah, Geets in Williamstown. Remember Geets? That's been there for years. Oh, my heavens. It's a small world, Mr. Rosner, small world.
Listen, I got to tell you, I admire what you're doing, and there's a lot of people that I run into, I speak to so many people every day, and, you know, most of the folks who are standing up are greatly admired, and now we're just in the process of convincing people to do more than just admire. It's time to act.
And it's I agree with you there, and I think the proper term for that would be regulators. If you go to the dictionary and you look up the word regulator, it means to restore law. Well, when the law itself became unlawful in 1868, it became our duty to do so.
Right.
And that's what I call Ammon and Ryan and all those folks. We were regulators.
You're just doing your job.
That's it. I looked at it as just that. It was my job.
Well, most people don't understand that this legal is a system of controlling people that has been unlawfully imposed upon the people without their consent and knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
So out of ignorance, and I have to get to the point of actually not meaning to insult people, but hey, they're going to have to take it the way it is. It's pretty damn stupid of us, once we understand, to permit it to persist.
Well, sir, I happen to be in agreement with you on that. I really am.
Well, I'm sorry that I can't do more of the help at the moment, but I will see
what you're doing is a huge help, and if I can call you back again and prepare a statement that you can go on, if you have the ability to record it, do you have the ability to get it to Lori Anderson so that she can run it on the show?
I can do that, I think. I'm going to post it on the Scanret in about 10 minutes.
Thank you for that, and for Scanned Retina and all of the readers there at ResurrectTheRepublic.com. We have one other one, RTRTruthMedia.com, specifically for the Hammonds and the Oregon incident. We've been sharing your material for many years now, several years now. You and Carl have been a huge shot in the arm everything that I found in research, you guys confirmed along with, Mr. Bruce Ray Riggs and a few others.
Right.
Bruce and I had a little falling out, but his research is sound. And we've all come to the same conclusions, but we've come to them separately. You know that expression when one person says something, you might be able to dismiss it? When two, maybe? But when you have this many people who are intelligent, that have their faculties, that have done this independent research, and have all come to the same conclusion, where there's smoke, there is fire.
Well, you know, a couple of things, if I may, I need to clarify. First of all, the site, the Scanned Retina, is a result of millions of people's effort from across the globe.
I understand.
And any credit is due to these marvelous people who recognize what's going on, and they're doing the best they can to deal with it. And as for, getting this out, we don't do any advertising or promoting of anything. Everything is just word of mouth.
Yep, me too.
So we've got about over 1.2 million views of the material that you're speaking of.
Yes, sir.
And it's all word of mouth. So there's a lot
yes,
of people. And the people that join or come to visit usually stay half hour to an hour, and they review, maybe 20, 30 different items. So they're being educated to a great extent. And thanks to you and Lori and others who also share. So, collectively, I hate to use that word, but I think we're using it against...
You're using the word as a definition and not an ism. It's fine.
So, I would say we're making great strides, and with Mr. Trump in place kicking butt, it's like, legitimately, he's no more of an authority than Obama was.
No, I know. I really do have an issue with executive orders. However, how else was he going to undo
this is poetic justice. What can they say? They've been using executive orders, which are mean nothing to the American people. They're just internal directives within the U.S. corporation, which is nothing more than a franchise controlled by the British Crown. So, Congress sits on the board. The president is the CEO. And so many Americans just can't grasp that. But he's no more the president, this is Mr. Trump, than was Obama. And maybe George Washington's even in question. I don't know that we ever had a legitimate Well, you know, why did he pick the word president?
Well, I think that the Constitution. I have some issues because I'm more of an anti-federalist than I am a federalist, of course.
I'm just an American.
The work that was paved by Patrick Henry and others that created the Bill of Rights. There was some noble work done there. I have the same reservations you do about some things, but I do believe in a higher power.
And, yeah, that's the only power there is delegated to us. So the Constitution means nothing to us. We're living sovereigns.
The Constitution is supposed to be a restriction upon one of the two necessary evils. Well, they've used this, they've abused the restriction, and now it seems as though anything that it says with judicial activism, they can just pencil it in.
Well, because of our ignorance, we haven't stopped them in the past. But that's over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree. And Evelyn, who, thank God for her, put me in touch with you. I owe her a letter back. However, I don't have any more money on my commissary right yet.
Okay, well, I'll send her this.
Okay, when I do, let her know. And it won't be long, but, you know, once it's on there, it takes days and then a week to get things. But tell her as soon as I get that ironed out, I'll shoot her back another letter and thank her from the bottom of my heart. She's part of my heart.
Well, she's such an incredible person. What an inspiration to be through what she's been through, a victim at birth. I mean, she's had absolutely no part of this crime system which has captured her and manipulated her, and through all the horrors she has been imposed through family services and the institutions they put people in to shut them up and to control them and things of that nature. I mean, it's totally unbelievable.
Well, I'm half a mind to say that, you know, when we get out, I think that we should, as many of us as possible, should try and I hate to say this, you know, the words for it, but collectively come together in one location and work together and protect each other. And I think that she should be on the top of our list of doing that with. I don't like her being out there on her own, having problems that she has to solve on her own. And then sitting there and being gracious enough to help me is you know, she's just an amazing person.
Yep. Totally amazing. Unbelievable.
Yes.
It's nice to know there are some people who are still Americans.
Yes, sir. I agree with you there. I agree with you there. I sure appreciate everything folks out there have done. I've already gotten some letters.
You want to give your mailing address?
I don't have it this time, but I will give it to you so that you can post it. Maybe you can go back in and edit it at the bottom of this posting on Scanned Retina. But I'm in the Lane, L-A-N-E, Lane County Jail in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
People can look that up. Yeah, they can look that up online.
Do you have your ID number? And
my ID number is 392-3405. And the name, my legal name, I hate to say, I use Lacovara Stewart on my show, but my legal name is Thomas Lacovara, L-A-C-O-V-A-R-A, of course. Without the Stewart, I added Stewart on the end of it when my mom passed away to honor her because that was her maiden name. But that's caused some conflicts in mail. If you write Stewart on it, it's not going to get to me.
Okay.
So knock that part off. And Arnie, thank you very much. They're taking us back in now. It until at least tomorrow.
Keep a stiff upper.
I'll prepare a statement that'll be a little bit more appropriate.
Okay, Tom. Good talking with you. Keep your head up, and you got a lot of support out here.
Thank you, sir. God bless all of you.
Bye-bye.
All right, so as you can hear, Tom is still Tom. He is still fighting the fight. And, you know, I wanted to go over something real quick concerning what they were discussing. Confederation. When you look at a confederation and what it means, it is a union of quote-unquote states or nations. They have come together in unity. We could go into, at a different point, the issues that they were talking about under the Constitution, because there are documents that can actually back that up about the constitutional issues. However, I want to go into the constitutional, what they call the Bill of Rights, and Eric and I and Tom and other people who are informed actually call the Bill of Limitations, because it states in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and is extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the benefit significant ends of its institution. So in other words, that's the very beginning of it, letting you know this is to limit the federal You're talking about the First Amendment, because you're talking about his right to freedom of the press. You're talking about Second Amendment, because the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. When you're talking about when they retrieved a firearm from a room that didn't even belong to him, but he had access to, along with other individuals, the Fourth Amendment, it states the right of the people to be secure in their person. By oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And you need to remember, I guarantee you, they had no search warrant. And in order to have probable cause, it has to have a, it has to be supported by oath or affirmation. And then in that search warrant, it has to have the place and to be have to look at that the Eighth Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Or disparage others retained by the people. Who are the people? Tom is the people, just like in all these other political prisoners. The Tenth Amendment, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. They are not allowed to make the first quote-unquote federal gun law in the first place. Every one of them are unlawful, unconstitutional, and they never had that authority. How do you know what their authorities are? You need to look up Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 tells you exactly what the quote-unquote central government, or federal government, if you will, is allowed to do. And by no means whatsoever are they allowed to do any of that. This is Article 1, Section 8. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debt and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Section Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2, to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Clause 3, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and within and with the Indian tribes. Clause 4, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. Clause 5, to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures. Clause 6, to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. 7, to establish post offices and post roads. 8, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. 9, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. 10, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. Continuing on, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Next, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for longer term than 2 years. Next, to provide and maintain a navy, to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. 17, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased, let's underline that one, purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. That is the only things that they are constitutionally allowed to touch. On top of that, just to confirm what they were talking about the corporation, 28 U.S. Code 3002, 15A, B, and C, states, quote, United States means A, a federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, or C, an instrumentality of the United States. When you look at that, and then you also understand that they are not allowed to exceed their 10-mile square for a very, very good reason, and you see all of the violations that they have committed just in Tom's case with being constitutional violations for their Bill of Limitations, they, in reality, there should be a motion. Eric, tell me if you agree with or you probably do, a motion to suppress the quote-unquote weapon that they found, because there was, to my knowledge, no actual warrant in the first place to do so. And with that being said, that would have to dismiss all charges against them.
I I agree with that as well. You're right.
Right.
Motion to suppress.
So, I mean, that's just, you know, with all of the violations, you're also looking at, I'm trying to remember the code right off the top of my head. I believe it is 18 U.S. Code 241, which is something that everyone needs to look up if you have not read it yet. Now, we do have one more recording from Tom, and I'll go ahead and play that, and then that way we can touch base on some other issues, and then we're going to try to get John Lamb on the show so that he can update us on what happened in Nevada and Oregon today. So, Mike, if you could go ahead and play Tom's second recording.
Tom Lacubera from Federal Holding in the Lee County Jail in Oregon. For the public to understand the cause of liberty, I fear they must have the blinders removed from them, which have been placed there by decades of propaganda. When the law itself becomes unlawful, it is our right, and even more grave job, it is our duty to become regulators. The liberty and even freedom of the Republic is in dire jeopardy. A regulator restores the supreme law. A regulator rises to lawfully oppose tyrannical, despotic practices and actions. Our fidelity, allegiance, and devotion to the Creator, to the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, and our promises and oaths to the Grand Architect of the Universe deem it so. I charge that everyone look up the definitions of free and of freedom. These are becoming words that we've thrown around and thrown on mottos and flags and have apparently lost all meaning in the public mind. We've all seen the Constitution eviscerated before our eyes. It truly hangs by a thread. This treason is nothing new. We are not vessels or vassals or cargo of the state. We're children of God Almighty or of your own conscience, if that is your own belief. Natural and without wranglings. The very grand work of this republic was to be a good repository of Christian civilization. The Constitution, as well as the Declaration and the framers of the Republic, or at least some of them, created a restriction upon government, not all-inclusive mandate, to legislate us to doom. The moral blindness of many who conceive themselves that they are not affected, so why should they care? They come by many names, nihilists, communists, fascists, whatever together, whatever ism you prefer. It all leads to the same thing, which is absolute despotism. If only the Constitution had been and was not being circumvented, or at least the Bill of Rights that was added to it by very smart people, by the likes of the unlawful 14th Amendment, or the claimed effect of the Interstate Commerce Clause, modern judicial activists' interpretation thereof. Pandering to people's popular sentiment, and their population lacks the requisite knowledge, they withhold from them by design rather than standing on the true fact of the law and the nature of nature's God that has brought us here. I took an oath and made a promise before the Almighty to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The Republic is not the villain, but the cancer among it surely is. And when this malignancy shows itself, it takes regulators to have the guts and the honor to rise and do what must be done without fear, to restore the law, to protect the innocent, defend. Love thy neighbor. I ask you to define love. To love is to protect. When someone defends another from injustice or injury, to call that individual criminal is truly the real crime. Here's a statement from a man who is very wise. Always give every man the full benefit of every possible doubt. You'll have to stretch as many of a point to allow for the free and easy life of these Western camps. But whenever you are certain that you're dealing with downright viciousness, the complete disregard for natural human rights and decency, remember that such lawlessness is the greatest enemy of mankind. Any man who is honestly combating such lawlessness is justified in doing and going to any lengths to which lawlessness forces the fight. That statement was made by Nicholas Earp, father of Marshall Wyatt Earp, on the trail following the path of the Mormon settlers across Utah from Fort to Fort to San Bernardino in 1864, before taking the Prescott, Arizona homes. What do we call a long train of abuses and usurpations? All my research points to the occurrence of such 150 years or more ago and incrementally continuing onward, as did the small occurrence in Athens, Tennessee, during what is known as the Battle of Athens. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. A local politician, the sheriff, sought to steal an election, and local veterans armed themselves and were forced into a shootout. They reclaimed liberty. This was back in the 40s. What has changed since then? No one went to prison or was charged. Men have lost their nerve and their honor. They do not suggest, I don't suggest reckless takeovers, but there was supreme law to be adhered to, minus the false interpretations of official activism. A strict, exact, literal interpretation of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is needed. For instance, we have the right, which is essentially also our property to enjoy, actually the right to a fair and speedy trial. Yet I've been in solitary confinement, denied access to the law library, which is seriously lacking. Anyway, and also the Constitution limits the power of government to demand excessive bail, yet I don't know what is more excessive than no bail. This has placed me and my wife in complete and total duress. If I am forced to take a deal, and I mean forced to plea out, I do solemnly because of gross constitutional violations perpetrated by the U.S. government incorporated. I disavow myself in any and all joiners I may have made with this entity and withdraw my consent to be governed by it. I hereby declare that my expatriation, as is my natural inalienable right, I am a child of God, not property, chattel, or cargo, or a vessel of the U.S. government. We have the right to declare ourselves free. That's my statement, Tom Lacubera, Resurrected Republic, from Federal Holding. I appreciate that, Marty.
All right. And Mike, I believe that we have a caller on the line. Who was it that you...
Chris, Las Vegas.
Wonderful. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Well, very well, Lori. Thank you very much. I was most intrigued about your suggestion about the questionable nature of the alleged warrant that they used to search and seize without probable cause and probably defective service of process, not compliant with rules R3, 4, and 11A.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have one at the time, to be honest with you. And you can't get a search warrant off of hearsay.
Well, exactly. In fact, it has to be an independent, not connected third party to make out the affidavit and complaint and to support the so-called warrant. And frequently you'll find that the oath helper officer, the employee who has a financial, fiduciary, and other self-serving vested interest in the act makes out the search warrant, making him ineligible and incompetent to be a witness. And that is, makes it fatal effective on its face, and everything after that falls in the doctrine of the fruits of the poison tree and the doctrine of exclusionary rule, which basically means all evidence that occurs of any potential crimes after that fall fatally fail on their face.
Exactly, and you know, the thing that I have not seen one thing of a search warrant for January, the incident where they found this, you know, alleged firearm. So if they did find the firearm in there and they don't have a search warrant for it and they didn't have a signed affidavit sworn to be true and correct under penalty of perjury for a complaint, then a motion to suppress definitely needs to happen because they won't be able to actually use that against him because it wasn't lawful in the first place.
Well, some would wonder if perhaps the young lady who carried the firearm in her purse without anyone's knowledge could have been in cahoots as an agent, asset, foreign correspondent, or other sort of asset, maybe paid confidential informant, as they sometimes call their associates, to give them a mask of invisibility. That's a very suspect. The particular incident in my front yard, I flat told the officer, I said, look, this is sham, legal, fictitious, simulated service, non-process with an incompetent witness, and it doesn't have a wedding signature on a signed judge, and there were numerous fatal defects. It's insane. These people think none of us know this stuff, but we study this stuff probably harder than they do. The charging instrument they gave me when I went to court wasn't even signed, for Christ's sake. That makes it null, void, nugatory ab initio.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. So we need to definitely find out about that, because I would almost, I mean, I can't guarantee it 100%, you know what I'm saying? But I haven't seen any proof that they ever had a search warrant in the first place in order for the January incident. And when you're talking about the female, I don't know who she is, that carried it in her purse, well, did she have a concealed carry permit to carry that in her purse?
Well, if she was an asset of the FBI in the first place.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is, if she wanted to go by statute, did she have a concealed carry permit in order to carry it in her purse concealed carry? Because if she is in violation of the law, then she is in commission of a illegal act. Thus, that cannot be used as a witness against him, because they were in commission of an illegal act if you're going by statute.
I must say it was awfully good to hear the call with Tom. I was glad to hear his voice. His spirit sounded high. He was getting twice as much time out of the cell that I got while I was locked up for 31 days, hijacked and unlawfully arrested and unlawfully and charged. I mean, this stuff is, these people are grinding axes. This is discriminatory. It's called retaliatory discriminate animus. And basically, they're grinding their axes against the freedom and liberty movement and anybody that has the audacity to educate the people and tell them the truth of the fraud of the federal government and all these fraudulent acts that have had the mask of believability that we've been duped in our so-called Central Soviet-style programming indoctrination centers. And so the people are waking up, and they don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the reasons. Now, this is my personal opinion. I think that's one of the reasons that they keep putting the knowledgeable individuals like Tom in solitary, because when you're not in solitary, you can talk with other people, and we have that knowledge in our minds. We don't need the books to read it to them.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the things. Yeah, they don't want that prison population. Those people in the jails or in the prisons getting educated about this stuff, they wouldn't have anybody in there.
I actually saw the CO on our floor take one of the bunk buddies there close to us out into the hallway, and I knew when I saw him go in the hallway, he was out there so he could find out what I was looking at and telling people about their paperwork. And I was just helping them and showing them what was wrong with it, you know, and trying to help them with their case.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. But I believe that needs to be addressed. That needs to be brought up. A motion to suppress needs to be put in under that. And if you would, Chris, just hold on for a few more minutes until we have a couple of words from our network sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.